writing.
It's BDG Radio with Grant Zellner, Jennifer Allen, and this week's guest, Director of Competition for the PDGA, Rebecca Duffy. For a very good reason, Rebecca joins us today because within about 10 days or so, bids for the next round of PDGA majors, that is the request for those bids, will be going out to the masses. And if you're listening, perhaps you or your community might have a chance at securing a future PDGA major for your area. Rebecca, but thank you so much for coming. I don't know where to dive in, so maybe we'll let you take the lead here talking about the fact that bids are going out and what that entails.
So we've been working on updating our bids. Those will be going out June 1st, and we are actually accepting bids for the 2026 and 2027 years, both of them. Now, if something happens that we don't get enough viable bids, 2027 will be put out again next year on June 1st. So what happens, we release the RFP, we'll send out communication to CVBs across the United States of the contacts that we have. It's all going to be public on pdga.com. And then once we start receiving bids, that deadline will be October 1st, which if you notice, last year, everything went out July. Deadline was November. We have moved it up a month. So we can actually grade these bids, get to these, if we're not familiar with these areas or the courses, we'll go out and actually do a site visit before the bid's even awarded. We haven't been able to do that because we're on such a time crunch. And so we just go by what we investigate and what we hear about courses. Now we can put eyes on those courses before we even start grading. So,
what are some of the things, just maybe top of mind, that are part of what goes into whatever you want to call it? I don't know if you call it a package, if it's a document, a multi-page document, whatever it is that the PDGA receives from these entities, what is in that?
So it can be a document from anywhere from 10 pages, and we've had up to 40 pages when a document comes in. That is just a personal thing that goes to the CVB or the local organizing committee that is actually putting a bid together. So some of the things that goes that we look at first and foremost is the tournament directors and the local organizing committee. Have they run significant events before, A tiers and above? We look at that. We look at their experience as a tournament director. Because when you're running a major, the experience goes up a whole nother level, and you have to have an organizing committee below you. And we also look at those course directors that they're listing on their bids. Another thing is the appropriateness of the course or courses. As you know, Masters Worlds, I think we're using 7 courses. Junior Worlds has a lot of courses, but only 4 is being used during the day. So we look at those. We look at the what major they're bidding on, whether it be Masters, Juniors, Pros, Women's. We look at the course appropriateness. And if that course has had events on it, we get our event support team involved. They do an analysis on scoring. On those courses and the tournaments that's been held on that. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but those are mainly the things that we look at. And then we go into, okay, we're going into this city. What can this local organizing committee offer these players for ancillary events in the evenings, whether it be a baseball game, a soccer game, just events outside of the competition, because these competitors are spending a lot of money to go to this city, and we want them to enjoy it. So those are the top things that we look at. And then we get into the nitty gritty of finances, the budget that they're presenting to us, because we want that budget to be pretty significant for the players, for the player experience, and for their overall competition. Now we're looking at, for the FPO, MPO majors, we're looking at, is there going to be enough room for spectators? Is there going to be enough room for parking? Are these players going to have to be shuttled 4 miles, 2 miles, maybe not shuttled at all? So, you know, there's so many different aspects that we have to look at. And so we've offered, you know, we've presented ourselves with another month to get all this stuff. And then we'll present the winners in January of 2025. And not only are we presenting the winning bids, but we're also going to present the dates. So everybody will know the dates of the 26, 27 majors, perhaps 27, depending on bids that come in January 2025.
It was just released last week about the Champions Cup moving to the West Coast. Is yes. that something also that is looked at, like trying to spread majors across the entire United States instead of kind of seeming to be a lot on the East Coast or whatever?
Yeah, so that there was a lot of factors that went into that decision, Jen. So just a little history. When we receive bids, we rarely receive a bid on the West Coast. And when we do, we really look at it hard because we really want our some of our majors, you know, to be on the West Coast. It has been since 2014 since an MPO major has been on the West Coast. FPO got to be in California when we had United States Women's there. We had Zelensky there last year. But this will be the first time that an MPO major will be on the West Coast. Now, why did we pick where the OTB in Swenson Park? Well, there were a lot of factors. The first and foremost is the Champions Cup is our baby. It was developed to have a tournament at our beloved International Disc Golf Center in Appling, Georgia. Unfortunately, the Beatles had a different, you know, different idea. So we did move it to Morton. And it was phenomenal. Northwoods is a phenomenal course. Now we've had a lot of feedback, and we see the feedback on Facebook about why isn't there a major on West Coast? Well, before we bring it back to the IDGC, and one thing is that we really wanted to bring it back to the IDGC for 2025. It's just, we want to bring the Champions Cup, not back to a good course, but a glorious course. Mm-hmm. And we need a couple of years to do that, to make it phenomenal and, you know, make just that experience when it does come back to Appling. So we wanted to offer, before it comes back home to the IDGC, we wanted to offer the West Coast a little taste of the Champions Cup and the majors. Now, what went into this is, like, we wanted a tournament director and a local organizing committee that would put their all into this major. And 1000 Rated Productions, the Shawns, we'll definitely do that. Not only is this venue, and I just went back this past weekend, got to spend a day down there. Not only is this venue is perfect for the competitors, because you're parking in one place, you get out of your car, you're going to your warm-up area, you're walking to your warm-up area, which is, you know, great.
1 minute away from hole one. Yeah. 1 minute, not a 5-10 minute walk. It is right there, which is incredible as a player, I will say.
Yes. So everything you are engulfed into this experience as soon as you get out of your car. The spectators are parking on the other side and they're walking towards hole one. So everything is in one venue. And, you know, it's great. I mean, the United States Women's was in one venue in North Carolina. It was fantastic. It was, you bring back the social aspect when you're in one venue rather than having to shuttle players, you know, from a parking lot that's a mile down the road. You know, players have all their stuff when they're traveling in one vehicle. So, you know, it's great that they just go to the parking lot and pick up something. But this venue, yes, it is a golf course. And we have never said PDGA Champs Cup. never said that it should be on a wooded course. Now, I'm all for wooded courses because, you know, I am in Oregon. So I, you know, that's how I learned to play is on wooded courses. But the way that Leonard has designed Swenson is that they use the wooded places of this golf course. It's not an easy course. It is not a full bomber. You really have to have your replacement shots. You can throw far in some of the holes, but that placement of that shot will put you at the, you know, put you on the podium or take you off the podium. I mean, it is a great venue, and this is just temporary. And we are very confident in 1000 Rated Productions, Sean Jack and Sean Mercy and his crew. I mean, that staff goes above and beyond when it comes to the competitors in California. So we're very excited. It's, you know, and they're tweaking their, you know, I've heard talk about them tweaking the layout a little bit. And, you know, this is a PDGA major. And we just wanted to offer a little bit of the Champions Cup to the West Coast before it comes home to Appling, Georgia.
And don't forget the absolute beautiful weather. That was the best weather we've had all year. But yeah, the parking right there, I believe I heard listening to the broadcast on Sunday, there was about 1,500 spectators out. Plenty of room for spectators. Great service. The players can stay in the parking lot, and that's something that a lot of them really ask and hope to do when, you know, they're living in their vans or their RV.
Right.
And that's allowed right there on the course. So I think it'll be an incredible major. I'm sure the West Coast is ecstatic that they get to participate in such a big event, and they come out and support. So I'm excited personally. I think it'll be fun for something new out there, and there's going to be some incredible golf to be seen.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean, I got to watch, I walked with the lead card on Saturday, MPO lead card, and it was just amazing. That course, the weather was beautiful, and I have been to quite a few majors, our majors this year, and the weather just has not been, it has not been the best. I'm ready. You know, I was ready for the sun, you know, it's like, I live in Oregon. It was beautiful in Oregon while I'm at these other states, getting, you know, poured on or the wind blowing or, you know, you're bundled up. So I was ready for that great weather down in California. And, you know, and it's usually like that. I mean, we're not worried about rain. And if it does rain, we're not worried about thunderstorms. You can still, you know, be able to play. So, you know, I'm excited, you know, to have the West Coast experience this. And it's not only about the competitors that usually don't get to experience the Champions Cup if they qualify, and then the qualifications will be, you know, extended to some of the California tournaments. So, I mean, they have an opportunity to qualify for the Champions Cup, but they also have an opportunity to come and spectate some of the best players. Well, the best players in the world competing for a major. So,
And we know, like you said, the Shawns are absolutely incredible, but it takes an army to put on a major. Is that something on the form that they can really list, or how do you know that there's really going to be the support of the club or the community on paper when you're looking through those forms?
Yeah. So when we're accepting bids, and just to clarify, the Champions Cup will never go out for a bid. That is one that we select, because it's normally going to be at the IDGC. So it will never go out for a bid. But when we're doing our bids, one of the things that we ask on our bid documents is that they provide letters of support from the community, the parks, dignitaries, saying that they will support this wholeheartedly. But we also have them list a preliminary local organizing committee, which you know, that is your course TDs, that is your water person. I mean, we've got to the point where we have to have a water person, which is only the person who makes sure that these competitors have water on the course at all times. A logistics person for your committee, and that logistics goes where are these bathrooms going to be placed that are more conducive to the competitors out on the course. So we have them list a preliminary, and then we follow up. And then once they're awarded a bid, if they're awarded the bid, we start right off the bat with a kickoff meeting. There's a timeline in there. This is what PGA is going to provide. This is what the local organizing committee is responsible to providing. And that will be in the memorandum of understanding, but it's also in the bid documents. And that serves as an outline of what your memorandum of understanding, which is the agreement between the PDGA and the local organizing committee, will entail. And you use that as your guideline through the whole process. So we start out with monthly meetings, then we go to biweekly and weekly. So we're always in constant communication with the local organizing committee now. We have a lot of meetings. Tuesday through Thursday is covered up when it comes to my meeting schedule. I got to fit you guys in today.
We're special.
We have the ability to do a lot more research than we had because we have the capacity in our staff, and we rely on other departments like our event support doing analysis on these courses that have had tournaments. We rely on our deputy executive director, Michael Downs, because he has been doing this for years and he will be part of the selection process. So once we have our preliminary bids and who we would like to see our majors at, these bids will be looked over by the board of directors and actually voted on for the final say by the board of directors.
And these are bids going out 26, 27.
Yes.
Do they list, you know, we're going to build a brand new course or, you know, we're going to put in all new TPA? I mean, that's so long in advance. Is that stuff that they're saying they're going to do, or do they need the courses and everything kind of set up when they're putting it? That's hard to make a vote on a course if it's not done, but that's a long time in advance.
Yeah. So we're trying to move away from our local organizing committees putting temporary courses. We want to, if they're doing a temporary course, it needs to be a layout that has been used in a tournament. We're really looking strongly at that because, we don't want to go in the last minute and worry about a course being finished or for the lack of better words, beat in, you know, because it's had tournaments on it. If they're using a golf course, it has to be a layout that they've used and they have to show us that layout on paper. They have to show us a course map that they have used. And if they want to tweak it, they have to show us what they want to do. We want to start moving away from the temporary courses a little bit and have established courses or layouts if it is a temporary course. That was a great question, Jen, because that does come up a lot. It's hard to grade a bid that has come in when you never had a tournament on that temporary layout. It is very hard to grade, and that might knock you down a few points.
One thing that this whole conversation, including diving in a little bit to Champions Cup, is I think shedding some light on is all of the other factors that maybe aren't top of mind, but are vital to the success of a tournament that is as big as a major is. Talking about the total number of competitors alone, you know, you think about how a course plays, but part of that is how traffic moves through it. And you can have a course that plays beautifully, but has several places where there are awful backups, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And you have to try to mitigate that. And that's maybe something that if you're listening right now and your primary way of experiencing a major is mostly pro majors or mostly maybe some master's majors, and you watch them on screens, there's so much that you don't see, but that is underlying, and whether or not what you do see is the successful product. And so I think this is really shining a lot of light on those other factors that have to be considered really thoroughly, because some of them are problems that take a year to solve, to figure out how parking is going to work or how a layout maybe needs to be, you know, the order of holes maybe needs to be tweaked compared to the way people locally normally play that course, you know, things like that. So I think that's really important. Rebecca, you've been around the game for so long at this level and been a part of so many majors. I want to ask you kind of a fun question. Do bids from the past, and then therefore maybe majors that won those bids, what stands out to you in terms of what made some individual bids successful? What made that venue or that community leap to the top of the list where the PDGA went, yeah, we're gonna have a Selinsky there. We're gonna have a Junior Worlds there. What were the unique things that a local committee was able to highlight? Because I'm thinking in terms of, say, my community, what could they highlight that might make them stand out? And it's got to be more than just, oh, there's this really cool course over here. There's got to be other things. So what comes to mind that maybe you can go, hey, yeah, that one community won that bid, and it's because of this really cool thing that they did?
Yeah, it's always about the competition first and foremost. But after I get that out of the way, I go and then I look at what can they offer these players for an ultimate player experience. And so that is when your local CVBs and sports commissions should be involved, because they can offer things that a local organizing committee of just a club of disc golfers may not be able to do. Mm-hmm. They can offer these games or soccer games, basketball games, or
a ton of baseball games. Just,
yeah. you can be throwing the disc out off of home plate, like Jen did at Tim Selinsky last year. And that was a great venue.
It was super
fun. They really treated us very, very well. And that venue came because I worked with the sports commission. Mm-hmm. And so my advice to any local organized committee, what we call LOCs, is to get with your local CVB and sports commission, because there have been very, you know, a lot of fun events come out of it. In Peoria, you know, you don't think, you know, you think of Peoria and you're going, okay, well, it's Peoria, it's Northwood, you know, it's all the courses surrounding Peoria. But Peoria offered us a great night, a baseball night, PDGA baseball night, just like we did at Selinsky last year. And, you know, it's just little things like that. Tim Selinsky, you can get a soccer ticket to go to the soccer fields. I mean, just think outside of the box when it comes to ancillary events. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all disc golf. I mean, you could have a great putting competition, which is going to happen at Masters Worlds, and it's separate from our field events putting. And they're doing, you know, you have to go through rounds, and it's going to be a fun thing. They're also offering a poker game, which, you know, I have fond memories from the GBO when it was the GBO, and they had the poker game. And we had a blast, because all the players are in here. You know, you're sitting at a table with someone that you perhaps never met before, and you just build that social aspect of it. And that's one thing. On these bids, we really want to bring the social aspect back to disc golf. We have gone to tee times, you know, shotgun starts were great for the social, but we have gone to tee times. So we got to offer those events that bring everybody together at the end of the day and make it early enough to where they can finish their round and go straight to this event if they want, and then still get home in a decent hour, you know, and get ready for their round for the next day. But I think I'm excited about Tulsa. I will only be there for the field events day, and then I leave the next day for Europe. So I made that little, because Junior Worlds is is one of my favorite tournaments, and I didn't want to miss out on missing some of those kids I've seen grow up. And, you know, Virginia Pocahorn is one of them. I mean, she is playing in the 18 division now. And I'm like, I'm a little sad about it because she won't be at Junior Worlds anymore. But, you know, and I've seen Ava Meyer grow up, and it's just, it's amazing. But what stood out to me about Tulsa, and I'm going back to other major events that they have had, they always offer a great time in Tulsa. And Tulsa, you know, it is a great community. And one of the things that stood out was that local organizing committee, and those juniors are going to have a blast. And this Junior Worlds will probably be the, it'll be like a little audition for maybe a bigger major. And not saying that Junior Worlds isn't a big major, because you have like over 400 kids
right.
coming in on Tulsa, Oklahoma. But when I say, I'm thinking FPO, MPO majors yeah. in the future, or maybe United States Women's, or, you know, and this is going to be like the audition. They haven't had a major there for a while.
Long time.
This local organizing committee, they're just set on go mode. I mean, mm-hmm. there is no stopping this LOC, because these kids are going to have a great time. And I'm so sad I'm going to miss it, because I would have participated in some of these ancillary events that are coming up.
I'm definitely skipping Europe to be there. I know Grant will be there. It's our home state. And yeah. so it's going to be extra special, I think, for us. But, you know, Grant, we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, I think before we hit record, you know, affordability as well. You know, Tulsa is a very affordable community as well. And that's something that probably for a Junior Worlds kind of ties into that. When you were talking about other fun things, what popped into my mind, you know, we just left Austin and Nashville. Well, Nashville wasn't a major, but, you know, music. We had, I believe, Tennessee a couple of years ago. There was we did one of our evening parties at a kind of town festival,
yeah,
you know, thing that the whole town was involved, kind of like Emporia usually does. It wasn't just for disc golf. They just happened to time it to where it was the community's big festival of the year. So that's always nice when there's other things going on in the community. And not only are we spending time with our competitors, but we're getting to explore the community, do things with the community. And I think as a player, that's something that's always fun to get involved in as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we're bringing a lot of money to these communities, and some of these communities need, you know, they need us to bring this money. And, you know, when you have what they call, heads in beds, you know, whether that be a hotel or Airbnb, the you know, sports commissions really look at that. And sports commissions offer a lot of grants when there's a big event coming, you know. And that's why all these sports shows are across the United States. These CVBs and sports commissions are looking for events to come to their area. They want these big events coming to their area. You know, this is the first time I get to volunteer at Tracktown, because I will be in town for Tracktown USA. And this is the Olympic trials.
Wow.
And I get to volunteer for them. I mean, it's just little things like that. I mean, big events that come to your town, and they put, you know, they put money back into the community. And that's one of the things as a director of competition, I want to make sure that we're leaving a great footprint on these local communities, and that they'll want us to come back and, you know, and maybe have more grants for us to come back into the community, because we're just invading this sometimes very small communities. And we just want to leave a great footprint and let them remember, yeah, these disc golfers, they're top notch. We want them to come back. We don't want to leave a bad taste in a community's mouth. So.
Well, and we're out there on their beautiful parks, usually, mm-hmm. you know, yes. That makes me think of last year at Masters Worlds with the big Throw Green initiative, you know, wanting mm-hmm. to leave that, you know, Flagstaff better than we found it, you know, supporting the nature that Flagstaff yes. has and the park. So is that something that mm-hmm. also sometimes ties into most of the majors, or was that more of like the Flagstaff community that kind of promoted that?
Yeah. So we started that at Tim Selinski. Tim Selinski was full green, to the point where, even the food that you ate at the baseball park, the leftover food went to the yeah. local mission, to reduce waste of the food. You know, and everything is, there wasn't a water bottle on the course. I mean, it's Oregon. We want to keep it green. And then that, kind of filtered in. And Bill Newman kind of leads that charge. You know, he's always out there as our marshal. So he kind of leads that charge and contacts these local organizing committees and go, hey, we've got this Throw Green initiative. So that would not be a bad thing to put on your bids, is that if you have a Throw Green initiative plan, and, you know, as the PGA, we're trying to take the steps to reduce our footprint, our carbon footprint. And we're, you know, looking at new ideas for tee signs, and, you know, the caddy books are now digital. We're trying to get rid of the water bottles out on the course. There's so many different options, in areas now where you can get, carton water, or canned water, or, like I did at Selinski, we did the 5 gallon jugs with the pump on top. And now if it was warmer, those would be in a, you know, bucket of ice. But yeah, it's just little things like that that you can do to make that Throw Green initiative really stand out at your event. But yeah, it is something that we're starting to look at. It's something that we need to start to look at, mm-hmm. because there is a lot of waste when it comes to a tournament, and we want to turn that around and try to move forward to a better future and a better green future.
I mean, I feel like there's been a couple of themes that we've been able to explore in the last 30 minutes. You know, the first one that I identified, Rebecca, is sort of like a campus for the campers theme. It's, you know, such a focus is on the players themselves, yes. and the experience that they are going to have. And sometimes those of us that are spectating, or that are trying to, you know, maybe follow the event from afar, sometimes we forget that a little bit, that the number one focus is the players and how the time that they have at these events. That's sort of a first and foremost. You know, another thing that's standing out to me in this conversation is when it comes to being a community or an LOC or whatever the entity is that's trying to organize a bid, you've just emphasize what you have to work with. If you're the Pacific Northwest, like Eugene, and where Tim Selinski was last year, you got a lot to work with in terms of nature and just it being a beautiful area. If you're mm-hmm. a Tulsa, you know, you need to work with things like the affordability and the ancillary events that you're able to put together, maybe a little bit easier in a Tulsa than in another place, so that a lot of, you know, juniors and their families and their siblings can have a great time for a pretty good bang for their buck for a week in the middle of July. And that's what Tulsa can work with. If you're in Austin, you're working with things like the music scene and those sorts of things as your ancillary. And in all of these cases, you may or may not have a great community parks and recs department that you can work with. And maybe you can highlight that. And you just mentioned, if you're able to throw in a Throw Green initiative or another similar initiative that just adds to the fact that disc golf wants to be a great partner with lots and lots of other things that go on in the out of doors or in the community or in the financial aspects or all of that. So, I mean, I guess the lesson here is if there's a will, there's probably a way. And the last thing that I want to highlight before we let you go, Rebecca, is there are resources. Not only can you probably ask any past bid winner and they'd yeah. probably be happy to share, but right here at the PDGA, there are resources that a person even thinking about putting together a bid can go and access. There are people like you they can talk to, for one, but there's other resources. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I do believe that our old bid documents from last year are still on the website. So, you know, if you want to start looking into maybe putting a bid together, you can look at our old bid documents. They're going to change just a little bit. I mean, we'll get into the nitty gritty Once you get awarded the bid, as like what colors to mark your courses with and stuff. But Grant, you brought up a very good point when you started naming off the months that that these tournaments would happen in. I mean, we take weather. And what is it going to be like? You know, the weather is going to be like in this area when we want to run this event. I mean, in Texas, obviously, you can't have something in July or August. I think we did have the WGE in August one year, and that that turned out okay.
A little toasty.
That turned out okay, but you know, that's something that we don't want to have to deal with. In Oregon, you don't want to have to deal with the rain at the early parts. We really got lucky at Tim Selinsky. We had gorgeous weather at Tim Selinsky mm-hmm. last year. And that was the end of May. And that's usually when our rainy season starts to get over. It might rain a little bit, but it's stuff that we have to look at. I mean, California, that is one of the things we looked at for the Champions Cup. It's at the beginning of May. The weather should be beautiful, yeah. Even if you do have rain. So, I mean, there's a lot of different factors. But yes, the documentation from last year, you can always reach out to me at rduffy@pdga.com. If you have any questions, and we have a great deputy executive director, and we have a great executive director that will also be able to answer any questions that you may have.
So bids go out on June 1st, which is about, what is that, 10 days from now, 11 days from now? It's not that long. That's when the request for bids, that is, goes out for 2026 and 2027. You can work even a little bit more into the future mm-hmm. than has been available to you in the past and get that process started if you are a local entity that's ever considered the possibility of hosting a PDGA major, or if you're just interested in following along with the story of how majors get awarded. All of that kicks off here in less than 2 weeks. And all of the information, as usual, available at pdga.com. We'll get all of that info out to you. Well, mm-hmm. Bex, we know how busy you are. Thanks for shoehorning us in. Yes. If I'm not mistaken, you might have to rush off to some kind of a planning major meeting or something here. So, you know, thanks for doing this part and giving us regular people a little bit of your valuable time. We really appreciate it.
I will also say congratulations on being inducted into the Oregon Hall of Fame. Throw that there for you. That is a well-deserved, because of what we've been talking about for the last 30 plus minutes. You have done so much work for the community and that state for so long. And so congratulations.
Thank
on your
you,
new
Jen.
Award.
I appreciate that. Yeah, Oregon's where it all started for me. And it just, little fun fact, the other woman that I'm being inducted with is Teresa Truber Emery. She was a great FPO player. But not only that, her in this group, her and her husband, Tom Embry, Chris Bellinger and Todd Andrews used to run an Oregon series here in Oregon, and they would travel with their trailer full of disc and bags and everything to, you know, to pay out scrip, you know, for each, and they would come in and run it for the tournament directors. And that group is what gave me the tournament director bug. And it was actually Teresa's husband, Tom, who I shadowed for a couple of years at the Eugene Celebration. And then he just turned it over. And it's been amazing. And it's so great, because last year, the first female inductee in Oregon was at the Selinsky. Oh. And she got inducted because she used to run the chick flick, Cindy McMahon. She works for Lego, and she's amazing. And she did a lot for women's disc golf. And then this year we have two female inductees. So
I will say, I've had the honor of playing with Teresa, and she's absolutely one of the most incredible women I've played with. So kind and caring. And just, you can tell as soon as you meet her how much she loves the sport and loves the game and loves, you know, the community. So congratulations to you both.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, the Oregon series was something that I was involved in playing. Yeah, I do play disc golf. yeah, some people know that. But it was amazing. And it's just, you know, an honor to be inducted with her. They were a big part of my disc golf career.
Hall of Famer Rebecca Duffy. Thanks for joining us on PDGA Radio. We'll see you down the road.
All right. Thank you.